Well, let's make the UFO connection for the space program in the earliest days, Michael D'Antonio. First of all, let's start with the presumption that somehow that there would be, that there might have been some sort of contact. Is that something you came across in your research?
Well, you know, the only person who mentioned anything about that was James Van Allen, and he didn't want to talk at length about it. I think many of these early pioneers were so determined to get their own spacecraft up that they didn't give much thought to UFOs or other inhabitants of the universe. But he did say that he thought that it was just as likely that there would be some encounter at some point as not, and that it wasn't unreasonable to think about this. And I think it's also important to think about how J. Allen Hynek, who went on to be a person who really speculated about the possibilities, was the first real spokesman for astrophysicists after Sputnik went up. The press went to the Smithsonian Astrophysical Laboratory at Harvard, and they found J. Allen Hynek. And he came across as a very serious scientist, pipe-smoking, tweed-wearing kind of guy. And in fact, and I don't think he talked about this at the time, but he was already involved in Project Blue Book, trying to investigate reports of UFOs. And the bit that of research that I did do really surprised me. In the early 50s, there were so many reports of UFOs, even pilots seeing them over the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C., that you could understand why people were concerned. And many of the reports seemed to come from very reliable sources. And Hynek, at this point, I'm not sure that he was a believer, but he certainly became one later on.
Well, of course, he, you know, he started the UFO Center at Northwestern University, and I mean, this becomes the center of his professional life at a later date. But yeah, right there in the earliest years, I'm so glad you brought up the Van Allen aspect of this because I was curious about it. I mean, just as likely to have an encounter as not. What an intriguing concept that there was a 50-50 shot that we were going to bump into somebody.
Well, or at least some evidence, a signal. Many of the people that I respect do talk about the difficulties of crossing time and space at such vast distances, and how, you know, it's quite likely that we will be a lonely planet for a very long time. But they never quite say never. And I also think there was a great interest once we started looking into space. Hynek had been in charge of a vast network of amateur astronomers who were going to be moon watchers. That's what they called them. And they often called satellites artificial moons. And people just started looking up and seeing things, especially in Cocoa Beach after they started the space program or the rocket program. There were many incidents of police officers responding when people saw lights in the sky. There's a nice little story in the book about a kid tying his shoe at a playground, and then he looks up, and there are the lights. And the lights are confirmed, and they're never quite resolved. There were sightings that year also in the Gulf of Mexico by Coast Guard ships, and some of the stories get to be a little fantastic. There was one fellow who claimed, I believe he was in Oklahoma or Arkansas, that a craft came down, and the aliens who came out all spoke in German accents, just like Wernher von Braun. and there were, you can actually go back, and there have been studies of the number of reports, and after Sputnik went up, in the year following it, there were more than 1,000 reports of UFO sightings. And they kind of receded once we got accustomed to rockets being launched successfully and satellites being in orbit. And the year 58 to 59, there were far fewer. But even, I thought one of the most interesting things I had noted was that Carl Jung, the great psychoanalyst, was asked to study this and asked for his opinion of it. And there was a mistake in the press coverage at first where he said that he thought that people were seeing a real phenomenon. And then the next day there had to be a correction where he was saying he thought that they were seeing basically with their hearts, that we all sort of imagine and are curious and our minds say that this has to be so, and yet Jung wasn't quite ready to go there without solid evidence. So he saw it as a human phenomenon, not necessarily an extraterrestrial one.
Well, I count myself in the category of those who were blessed to have had an encounter. And I will, you know, I will just tell you briefly, I was 18 years old. I've never been a drinker, no drugs, at a beach at dusk. With a girl that was, we were friends and we were just sitting on rocks over the beach and we watched a display of lights, which I won't go into details, but I actually called J. Allen Hynek's UFO Center the next morning and reported it. And we went through the whole process, filling out a report and then being contacted sometime later on to be told that there was no Coast Guard activity, there was no Air Force activity, there was no anything that would have explained what we saw. And what we saw was inexplicable in the context of the limitations of human aviation as we know it. And as far as I know, to this day, would not be possible with man-made aircraft. But that having been said, you know, I was sort of curious about that because, I mean, I'm then a little bit more sympathetic to people who say that they saw something because I saw something and I'll never forget it. And I don't know that it's little green men. I just know that it was something which it defined a moment for me of what it's like to have to say something that you know somebody else is going to think you're crazy for. But you're going to say it anyway because it's the truth of your experience. So it was with interest that I was reading that comment about Carl, about Jung and what he was saying, and I respect Jung a lot for some of the things that he has done over the years, but I don't know that fully addresses what was happening, especially in, Michael, if you would tell the story that Steven Spielberg uses later on in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, the story of the multiple sightings in Texas along that roadway.
Well, right, there were lots of people who saw what they said was a craft or more than one descend on a roadway. And it included people of all different walks of life, and it really befuddled the government. There was a wonderful encounter between Mike Wallace. You know, it's good old Mike Wallace. He's now about 85 years old, and he was a young, aggressive reporter back in the 50s, and he encountered the Secretary of Defense and asked him, and the Secretary of Defense was quite irritated, and he winds up saying, you know, we're all cracked loose, he says. Even the Texans are seeing spaceships and flying saucers. Well, they saw something, you know, and I think it's pretty hard to dismiss when so many people see something.
Well, and I'm not sure that everybody can be having a mass Jungian experience.
No, but I kind of like the fellows who got into the hills of California outside of Los Angeles with a transmitter and started broadcasting the message, this is the Sputnik.
Right.
into the radios.
Right.
and lots of people heard it and thought for sure it was the satellite communicating with them.
Well, and that's funny, and I love that. But I guess going back to the UFO thing for just a second, I just make the point. I think that's an intriguing concept that there weren't that many rockets that were actually going up. We hadn't perfected it that well it wasn't like rockets were crisscrossing the United States
no,
that
not
could
at
explain all.
All
these.